Perfect.
Damn, I need to work on mine.
It's all good. My peoples, what's up? We back again. Another week. I'm proud of you. Keep working hard. Keep squares out your circle. And work hard.
Thanks.
We proud of you. Love is always love. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we got a special guest tonight. This is going to be a phenomenal episode, by the way. This woman is gorgeous, absolutely amazing. And not only that, she's extremely intelligent, focused, driven, and she's simply amazing. With no further ado, we're not going to waste any fucking time tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We got to lay the red carpet out for our sister, Tisa, baby!
What's up, baby?
She's here.
Yo, that was a fun. Yo, can you?
Did you like that?
We should go on a road. You should be my hype man.
I got you.
That was wonderful.
Say less.
Should make that like his alarm. Your alarm.
Yeah,
right.
Can you record that and send that to
me? Absolutely.
Because I'm all of those things.
Shot from the head. Bang bang.
Yeah. No, that was it. Yeah.
I mean, that's the truth. That's what you.
Yeah, that's what I give out.
That's the positive energy.
Thank you.
It's all about you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So Tisa, what's up, baby? How are you doing?
I'm living. You know, blessed, wonderful.
Okay.
I'm all right.
All the above.
Yeah, all of the above.
Living post COVID.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
As strong.
Momming.
Life
entrepreneur.
All that.
Really got a 9 to 5.
Okay.
Right.
All of those things. Walking on purpose.
Right.
You know, trying to, you know, impact lives in a positive way.
Oh. And that's all we try to do. Positive vibes all day. Wow. So listen. Can you please tell the world where you are from, born and raised?
Ooh.
Let's get into it.
Where am I from?
Right.
People always laugh at this when I say. So, okay, I was born in Annapolis. I lived in Annapolis for 9 years of my life.
And what is Annapolis to the state of Maryland?
Huh?
What is Annapolis to the state of Maryland?
The capital.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's the capital.
How about that?
You know, a lot of people think, I'm going off on a tangent here, but a lot of people think that Annapolis is a small country town, but if you've ever lived in Annapolis or been in any of the hoods in Annapolis, you will know it is definitely so much more than that.
So where Annapolis has hoods?
Are you familiar with Annapolis?
I mean, I've been on there, the cobblestone streets, very charming.
Yeah, I thought it was just about the state circle over there.
No.
The naval cabin.
Not the water.
Oh, not the
water. Not the water.
Like most cities.
That's where the white people,
Okay.
No, you gotta
the other side.
Go down the street. Yeah, down the street.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, tell us about that.
It gets live.
Okay.
Annapolis actually purposely built public housing in very intentionally in Annapolis, very segregated, intentional neighborhoods for public housing in Annapolis. Mm. And all of them are one way in, one way out, purposefully.
Not your natural cul-de-sac.
Yeah, no. Okay. that's what
it's good to know.
I didn't grow up by the water. I grew up in the hood in Annapolis.
Okay.
But I've had a crazy thing, and I've lived in every county in Maryland, almost PG County, Baltimore City, Baltimore County, Howard County. I lived in Georgia. I literally up until I had kids, I probably moved every year of my life after 9.
Really?
Which one's your favorite county in Maryland?
It depends on what age we are talking about. As a mom. I love Howard County. I love Howard County because it is a really good place to raise kids with free one of the best educations you can get in the nation, in the country.
That's a fact.
Absolutely.
It's expensive as hell, but education is really important to me as a mother, so that's why I pay buku money to live in Howard County. If I didn't have kids, Howard County is boring. Don't move to Howard County if you're young looking for life.
Right.
To have fun, it's not the place. It's for people to settle down and have kids. Like, yeah. When I was younger, I would say PG County because it's always something going on. It's definitely you know, close enough to DC. It's a lot of culture in PG County.
Yes, it is.
So I would have to say if I was younger, definitely PG County. Yeah.
Pretty girl county.
Prince George West Side, baby.
That's what they call it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Close to Chocolate City.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So where'd you go? Wow. Okay. So where'd you go to school?
Oh my gosh.
Right.
Okay.
Because that's a lot of moving around.
Right. Yeah, so okay. You probably have friends all over the
all
state.
Over the-
I do. I do have a lot of acquaintances all over the state.
I like the way you said acquaintance.
Yeah, she changed that.
Yeah,
she,
that's grown woman shit right there.
Yeah.
Right.
She knows.
I know a lot of people, but I'm not intimately connected to a lot of people.
I like that.
She's already starting to spit.
Fire.
She's starting to spit.
Come on
what
now.
What do you mean by intimate?
Intimately connected.
Mean, yeah, that's the first time I even heard
it's
that.
Levels.
So I think for me it means there's depth there, right?
Mm, okay.
The information we share. Are you a person that I call when I need someone to hold safe space for me because I'm going through something and I need to talk? Are you a person that I would seek out for advice? You know, do I know your family? Like, am I going over there for holidays? How often am I checking up on you? It's not just a, you know, hey, I see you. I can hang out with you. We have a good time. We go home. It's some level of depth there, some level of connection. And I don't really think that saying hi to somebody and just being like, hey, we had a good time. I don't really think that. Well, surface level connection, right? Ooh, I call those acquaintance.
Surface level.
I like that.
Yeah.
And it goes no further.
Yeah. It's just that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That'd be nice. All right. So where'd you finish up high school at?
I graduated in Howard County.
Nice. Okay.
But I went to like four different high schools.
I'm sure.
Three different middle schools and like five different elementary schools.
You was busy.
Yeah.
Well, my parents was busy, yeah.
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 That's dope. How was Georgia for you? Now, Georgia, was that in like your adult?
Mm-mm.
No.
No. Okay. Georgia was, that's such a loaded question because.
I keep hearing that Georgia's like a mini New York now.
It is.
It is.
It is now.
I would never, Georgia is not what it used to be. There was a period in time, I think, in the 90s where a whole lot of us migrated to the South. Well, if you were from up here, right? A whole lot of us migrated to Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very overpopulated now.
Traffic is crazy.
Too much traffic. The cost of living ain't what it used to be.
Right?
Like, talking about one-bedroom apartments are like $1,500. Like, that's not too far from what we pay up here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But when I was younger, I like what I do like about Georgia then and what I like about it now is that people are extremely friendly. Like when I go see my sister, you know, I walk around her neighborhood and neighbors just be like,
hey, y'all.
Hey! Like,
right, okay.
You know what I mean? Like people speak.
Yeah.
People are very friendly. But they're also hella racist in Georgia too.
Damn. We just can't get away from that shit. Can't.
But it's a lot more outwardly expressive in Georgia, I think. Like,
really?
I remember going to a grocery store and like people, and my sister, I have an older sister who's white, and I'm not white. So we would be in a grocery store, people would be staring at us, and I'd be like, why are they, recently, I'd be like, why are they staring?
Uh-huh.
They don't do that up here. Like,
right, yeah. You know, right. At least they, you know, they hide behind it a little bit. They're not so forthcoming with the shit.
Which is weird because there's so many people of color with a lot of money in Georgia.
Yes.
Specifically in Atlanta.
In Atlanta, yeah.
So much money in Atlanta, yeah.
Yeah, speaking of, I heard Atlanta was, and talking about safety, right? Like, I heard Atlanta's just getting more and more, like, dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, because a lot of people got more money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of money in Atlanta. When I went down there, and I'm like, oh, a couple G wagons, like,
yeah, like a lot line of up like Toyota Camrys and shit.
Well, because you know, like now it's booming as far as like filming, so you have a lot of people from LA, a lot of people from New York, and then you have the music from the South,
right?
All that mixed in, and I mean, I like seeing it. I don't know if I could ever live down there though.
Yeah. What would be the hesitation?
It depends on where you live.
Good point.
I wouldn't live
in
Atlanta.
No, Good point.
Yeah.
I live in one of them prestigious, phenomenal counties.
Thank you for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I got real you back in.
She almost got me there.
Yeah. Right.
Yo.
Now that's good.
Yeah.
So listen, when you was in high school, was you in sports? Did you take a liking to any of that?
I love sports. I really do love sports. I wanted to play basketball all of my life. But I moved around too much.
Right.
And one, I lacked confidence enough to play, and my parents never had enough money to like put me in extracurricular activities when I was younger. So in high school, I was like way too shy to try out. But gotcha. I love basketball is my all time favorite sport, mm-hmm. especially in person. Yeah. My second favorite sport would be football.
That's something. Yeah. You know what's coming next, right?
Right.
Who's your favorite team?
Okay.
Who's your favorite team?
I actually do not have a favorite basketball team.
Okay, good.
One of my favorite players is Kevin Garnett.
All day. Yeah, yeah, KG. Official test.
Yeah. My favorite football team is Pittsburgh.
Not the Ravens?
Hell no.
Wow. I just thought you being from here. I thought you were...
Nah. No. First of all, they're not even the original, like, Ravens shit. Is a new team. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're talking about the Baltimore Colts. You're taking it back then and shit.
Right. But yeah,
You're not associated at all with the Ravens.
Hell no.
I appreciate that because I'm from
Black and Yellow.
Okay,
Black
and Yellow.
I'm New York. I'm Jets all day.
Okay, all right, we can get that.
Green, right.
Okay. Black and Yellow.
Who your team?
Giants.
Okay, all right. We cool. We good.
Yeah, we good.
Yes,
we good.
Cool, yeah.
Kick all y'all out right now.
Yeah. Triple season favorite.
Baltimore all day.
You can't hang out with us.
Right.
Mm-mm.
So, okay, after high school, where did life lead you to then? When you knew, okay, great, even better question. Did you know what you wanted to do when you left high school?
Hell no.
No?
I was falling behind a man.
Really?
Yeah.
How was that experience?
So, all right, let's back it up in terms of like what I'm doing now and my passion. I knew what I want. I knew that when I was 14, I was 14, and I remember being in somebody's house, the house I was living in at the time. And I always knew that I wanted to, I used to say that I wanted to be like Oprah, meaning I wanted to impact people's lives. I used to say I wanted to be a motivational speaker. Like when I was a teenager, that was like my dream. I always had that desire. However, I did not intentionally pursue like anything really in high school. I was young and dumb. I was in love. I met a guy, my ex-husband, when I was 15 grade. He was 17, about to turn 17.
Okay.
And we dated through high school, broke up, still followed him. I won't say follow him, but I was attached to his hip. Like I was like, my life is him. Unfortunately, that was my mindset. So after, when I was in 12th grade, I was like, I'm not going to college. He's not in college. He's here. This is where I'm going to be. And yeah, so after high school, we got married a year after I graduated. So I was 19, and then we had a baby a year later. And then we divorced a year later after that. Very short-lived.
Very short-lived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yeah. Don't do that, y'all. Okay? Don't follow behind no damn love when y'all in high school.
Definitely
it's not what you think it is.
Was dad in your life at the time?
No. Okay. My dad was in my life. I actually live with my dad. All right. Okay, so
just curious on the mindset then. And, you know, did dad have anything? Was he?
I was searching for love. My dad was deaf. My dad at that time in my life, I was living with him when I was in 12th grade. Did we have a relationship? Was he a part of my life my entire life? No. Did he raise me to be with the foundation of knowing who I am, having self-worth, knowing what it's like to be loved and cared for by a man properly? Hell no.
Especially not in 12th grade.
No. My dad couldn't tell me no. I didn't have no respect for my dad by the time I was in 12th grade. I despised him and everything.
Reason why I asked, because, you know, there's a lot of broken young ladies.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So just you putting that vision out there can lead them in a different direction.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why it's paramount that you say what you say, because that means so much. There's so many lost children out here that are just reckless, looking for that love. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's fucked up. It's not even because it's your fault. You didn't have that set foundation. Instead of making that right, you made that left.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So I appreciate you and commend you for even just saying that, because it takes a lot.
It takes a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's on that topic, like, I think that absent my dad giving me what I think a father should in terms of being that example of a man's love. I think it even would have helped if I had been taught somewhere how to love myself. Even if it wasn't from my dad, right? Like, just because we put a whole lot of emphasis on that. Like, a man, a father is the first example of, for a girl,
to how fall to be in love loved, with.
Right? And while that's true, I think more importantly on how a person's supposed to love you, we need to do more of teaching people how to love themselves.
Absolutely.
Because if you teach yourself, if we're taught, like, how to love ourselves, how to develop our self-worth absent of our parents giving it to us, because, yes, they are supposed to. That's a very important. Yes, we would love them to, right? And that's a very important foundational thing that we should all have. So many of us don't have that, even with our parents being around.
Sometimes our parents don't know how to teach that.
Oh, yeah.
Right, so T, like...
Oh, my gosh.
Right. I know you talk about this usually on your IG live. How does one begin that? Like, how do you start that?
How do you tap into that for parents that don't know how to do it?
Yeah.
Because there's some men that for not even my experience, but what I see, like me, I'm a girl dad.
Mm-hmm.
I got three beautiful young ladies. When it comes to taking them to the bathroom, I love that. I love that and the respect that's my baby.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to show them how to wipe right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. A lot of men, yo, I can't do that. Have your mother take. No.
Yeah.
I'd rather them learn from their mother and me.
Yeah, that part.
Because I'm daddy.
Mm.
I want them to know you could come to daddy for anything. There's nothing that we can speak about that I won't want to talk about. I want to talk about any and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to give you the jewels and the foundation and the roadmap to this shit here called life.
Yep.
Because it's real.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of lost girls out there.
Yeah.
So many.
Exactly. That too, on top of that, you don't want some bozo coming by.
Because you'll get a herb ass.
Oh, no, this is the way you do
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Bozo.
Completely wrong.
Completely wrong. And completely not up to your standard of level.
Right.
Of living.
No.
Right.
No.
So that's huge.
Yeah, really big. And I think, like, I love that you said, I don't, for me, it's important to show my girls, like, I am daddy. I want to show them all things. One, I love that because we're talking about outside of gender roles, right? Like, I hate the idea that a woman's supposed to teach her girls or boys this and a man's supposed to teach them that.
I think that's bullshit.
Now, don't get me wrong. I think, like,
certain things,
yes. Right?
At a certain age.
Right. They need a male for or right. a woman.
They need
for.
That woman's right. touch, of course. Right. I can't give you that.
Right.
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 But I understand.
There's a certain level of I'm never going to be able to teach my sons about certain manhood because I'm not a man. Right. You got to get that from your dad.
Absolutely.
But in terms of like the little things like that, like why wouldn't you be at you can watch a YouTube video to teach your girl Absolutely. How to wipe herself.
I think that's huge.
It's really big.
It's hygiene. That's teaching them the right, like, that personal area is everything. That is really your treasure.
Yeah. That's a form of love.
It is.
Teaching
it,
like, so personal experience, like talking about how you teach your kid how to love themselves. Hygiene is one of those things.
When I
was younger, in the environment that I grew up, well, because my mom was, coked out, like, nobody was teaching me how to, like, proper hygiene. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had to develop that later in life, like, for myself. You know what I'm saying? Through trial and error. Like, talking about having a form of self-love, like, I didn't, there was no importance on that. But taking care of your physical being has a lot to do with how you love yourself.
Absolutely. That's so wild. You'll be surprised how many people have come on the podcast and said the same exact thing.
Really?
Yeah, it's just crazy. Like, I guess just the way we grew up.
Yeah.
Because I'm old school. Like, when I get the girls up in the morning, when I'm, when it's daddy time, and when it's time for school, yo, everything. You get lotioned up, everything. I even grease your face.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Arms, legs, everything. Your whole face be greased up. Yeah.
Yes.
But that's huge to me. You know, it's huge. Especially, I'm big on, like, lips, chapstick. Yeah. You know how many kids have chapped lips? That is so bad.
Yes.
Cracked lips. That shit, it bothers me. So, I grease that shit up to the core.
Do you inspect your kids?
Every day. That's huge for me.
I do that like
You know why? Because
week.
You're not going to go out the house because you're a reflection of me.
You know what I'm saying? Like the body, everything, right?
Absolutely.
Just to make sure there's no black and blue right here.
Mm.
Or all that. A lot of parents don't do that.
They don't.
They don't. You got
to
inspect
the kids. Like, I want to know, even if you fell in school, I need that phone call.
Yeah.
What happened?
Oh, yeah.
I need to know
that. That my kid.
Because a lot of times you see a kid there in pajamas, right? And it's like, but you don't know if somebody might have punched them or done something mm-hmm. crazy. I always, like, try to inspect my kids.
That's actually a good, you know, I found, because I grew up, I was sexually abused a lot as a kid. And wow. I always was like, I never wanted, thank you, I appreciate that. I never wanted to have girls.
You're amazing.
Thank you. I never wanted to have girls because, I was like, oh, I don't want to have to deal with that. I will tell you, that level of paranoid for me was even heightened with boys. Right, because really? For me, in my mind, I was like, this is just perception. It's not reality. But a boy suffering through, sexual abuse.
Oh, wow.
I hate to say this, but, women, they're a little bit stronger than men when it comes to certain things, when it comes to, resilience.
I think for a fact women are stronger than men.
Yeah.
You said what?
I think for a fact.
That women are stronger than men.
So, for me, when I had boys, I was like, oh my gosh, it's so much worse. But when they were younger, I found myself, I'm definitely, I started talking to my kids super early about, know your private parts, somebody touching you. And I found myself when they were, in the tub, when they were super young, just being like, everything looked like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And not only that, not even that, and also, they might have a hernia and you don't even know. Mm-hmm. You see a little bump, you're like, wait a minute.
Where'd that come from?
Yeah. Catch it early.
Yeah, facts.
But yeah, I could even imagine. Yeah. Wow. Yo, that's the shout out to you to overcome your past and just be here.
Thank you.
And shed so much, positivity to everyone you know.
Because not for nothing, a lot of women mentally could be fucked up.
A lot of us are fucked up.
Yeah. I think we all fucked up. Yeah.
And everybody got some shit with them now.
We all got some shit with them.
I wanted to say, I think we're all fucked up. And back to what we said earlier, I think we all just need love.
That's my thing, Dre. Yeah, that's my thing. Love is definitely, when I say that I really am passionate about cultivating space for love, hope, healing, and growth, that love heals.
Mm.
Love is why we are all here. Love and connection is why.
That's huge.
What I believe.
Now, when did you know your why? It's a process, but when did you know that you was fully engulfed in it?
Probably.
And what is your why? Please elaborate.
That's a really good question.
Thank you.
I will tell you, okay, so I had this experience, I think it was in 2019.
Mm-hmm. That was soon.
And yeah, it was very recent.
Recent. Like before COVID.
right before COVID, or a year before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember sitting on my couch and I was kind of going through, just questioning a lot of things. First of all, I'm a deep processor, right? So I'm always about to sit and think about
you were thinking. Heavily.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what I'm about to do. So I was sitting on the couch and I was just reflecting on my life and the things that I've gone through, my parents, the men that have come in and out of my life, and how I've shown up in people's lives. And
nice nails, by the way.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And I will tell you, for me, it was God speaking to me when I was sitting on my couch and he was just I felt like he was pouring into my spirit. This is why you've gone through this. This is why I made you. This is why you have amazing resilience and tenacity and strength. And I was looking at my parents. It was just, he was opening my eyes to everything that I am.
Mm.
And why he made me the way that I am, and my true purpose.
I call that, you got to look in the mirror.
Yeah.
That's what you was doing.
Yeah.
You sat with yourself and you faced all those things.
Yeah.
A lot of people are scared to do that.
Yeah. Listen.
That's another story.
Yeah. That's seat. Ooh, I call that the seat.
That's the hot seat.
We got to get comfortable with sitting in our own seats.
That's that fire.
Yeah.
You got that's, it. Yeah.
That's a whole nother conversation.
It's a game changer.
It is a game. It is one of the best gifts you could ever give yourself.
Ever.
Yeah.
If you go sit through that.
Facts. Sit with it and then come out and do something different.
Right. Because that's insanity if you don't.
Understand. I mean, being aware of something is one thing.
Yeah.
Doing something about what you're aware of is a whole nother thing.
That's another level.
Yeah, it's a whole nother thing.
You gotta get deep in this shit if you wanna seek change.
Yeah, like,
right.
For real, for real. So that's when I figured out what my purpose really was and my calling really was.
Wow.
My true why, I have a few whys. I do what I do for my mom. When I think about my mother, I think of, my mother was a drug addict. She overdosed when I was 13. She's still alive.
God bless her.
She's still alive.
That's awesome.
She lives in a nursing home. She has a mental emotional capacity of a 12-year-old. Now her mind's deteriorated, so it's probably younger now. But she definitely, her life was taken from her, or she took her own life inadvertently. And I think about all of that my mother, and I know her backstory. So I think about all of what she's gone through and she fought to overcome, but yet she didn't have enough strength to really change her life and heal, right? To really change her life and not succumb to her addiction.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like my why is, if I heal, I'm healing my mother. If I heal, I'm healing my kids and my grandkids and my great grandkids, right?
You're breaking that
domino effect, right? Generational curse. Yeah. So that's really my true why. And my second why would be to not let everything I've gone through be in vain.
I've
said that since I was little. Like, I refuse to let everything that I've overcome be for nothing.
Absolutely.
No.
Right, because it's too much pain to let it go.
Listen,
that currency ain't that currency.
It's too much to carry.
Yeah.
Let that shit go.
Somebody got benefit from this. It wasn't absolutely for nothing. Like, right. Yeah. Absolutely. So that would be my second why.
So you're living in your why now.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do for a living?
So I am a life coach and a speaker, and a conversationalist, right? And I say conversationalist because I really enjoy having, like, speaking is one thing, right? Getting up in front of a room and speaking to people is one thing. Having a conversation where I'm getting to know you, you're getting to know me, we're connecting, I'm seeing you, you're seeing me on an intimate level.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love.
Absolutely.
I love connection. So,
new people.
All of that, under the realm of helping people change their lives.
That's huge.
Own their lives, and then and how they show up in the world, knowing that they can create something different for themselves.
Mm.
My 9-to-5 is something totally different, but that's what I do.
That's dope.
Yeah.
How was it?
Passion.
Because it's different. I think it's natural for you to connect to somebody.
Yeah.
Like, intimately.
Mm-hmm.
How is it being a motivational speaker, getting up and actually grabbing people's attention? How was that for you? Was it tough?
Well, first of all, I'm just beginning that journey.
Because stage presence is everything.
Yeah, it is. And I'm at the beginning of that journey.
Okay, I got you.
And
I mean, fool, because you speak well.
Thank you. And it is.
But it's different, though.
Fun. It is.
Right.
Getting up in front of, because
people's attention spans are very minute.
Mm-hmm.
Small.
Yeah.
So you got to, bam, you got to set the stage. Motherfucker, listen to me.
Right.
Right.
And there's really no, like, if we're having a conversation, I'm really knowing, I'm here, I'm listening to you, I'm seeing you, I'm knowing, I understand, and I'm seeing how I impact you. I'm holding space for you to give me feedback while I'm giving you feedback. That's different than standing on stage and just telling somebody a story. Hoping that it
totally
connects.
Totally different. Absolutely.
Right? Standing on stage and hoping that something lands and something connects with somebody.
Go toss it out there.
Right? But if we sit down and have a conversation, I can maneuver that conversation. Right?
Yeah, you're going to do what I want you to do.
Give and take.
You're going to listen to me.
And at the end of the day, the goal for me is for me to see you, for me to hold space for you, and for you to be impacted in some way. That's easier to do when we're having a conversation versus me standing on stage.
Absolutely.
Now, there's still space for that, right? Because somebody's going to grab that story out of the crowd, right?
But you want to know a little trick?
Mm-hmm.
You get a motherfucker that's not paying attention, give him something to do.
Hmm. What do you mean by that?
Walk up to him. Give them something to do. Ask them a question.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay.
Get their attention.
Okay.
And you know, it's all about stage presence.
That's a good point.
Keep everybody
engaged,
intrigued on you.
Engage.
So that's why you walk to one side, and then you can't leave the other side alone because the motherfucker's going to fall asleep. So you go to the other side.
And once you do that with H-Set, everybody's going to be like, wait a minute, I don't want to be the person
that she going to get.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you know what? Let me listen.
Good...
She coming this way.
So how did you learn that? How did?
I was an instructor in the academy.
Oh, were you? Okay. Yeah.
So I took a huge class on public speaking, and it was dope. It was super dope. And I had nervous? Such a, huh?
But like, were you nervous?
Like, now, you're going to be nervous because, you know, you're conveying, you're talking to the people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing is you want them to you want to have their attention. People's attention spans are so small.
Especially nowadays.
Even when we go to the end service, where you know, old officers that got time, or even the new officers, motherfuckers falling asleep. End
on
service,
their phones.
They don't want to listen. They're just doing their own thing on their phone texting. So, yo, you got to do shit to liven it up to make them laugh, make them, you know, keep them interested.
That engagement.
And those, yeah, that engagement. And those little rocks that you throw out there, somebody's asleep, you go there, pat them on the shoulder, and you give them a question. Have them answer it.
That is a jewel.
And then I'm telling you, I got you.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to have to call you and we're going to have to tell you, you had to give me some tips.
Yeah, I got this shit is here. It's fun.
I have a question though for y'all.
Please do.
Talking about impact of people's lives, right? You guys are in law enforcement. And a lot of people have a perception. There are perceptions in this world that, you know, y'all are just, what was it? To protect and serve. Now, I mean, that's literally what it says, right? Mm-hmm. But I believe that y'all have an amazing, we hear stories all the time about how you guys have impacted somebody's lives because of a conversation you had or something like that. Like, in your everyday interaction with people on the job, right? Not who you work with. I'm talking about street people, right? How much ability, one, that's the first question, do you have to impact a person's life?
A lot. It's a lot. And especially if we're not busy in a patrol capacity.
Yeah.
Like you out anyway and about in the public. You in your local businesses, you in your streets, the block, the hot blocks, where there's a lot of crime activity.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you get out your patrol car, that's the biggest thing is talking.
Mm.
Introducing yourself. If you're new to the area, listen, I'm Officer So-and-so. I'm from, you know what I mean? What you actively talking to them, you're building that rapport. You're setting the stage for, listen, yeah. I'm the officer. This is what I'm about. Of course, I'm not around here. You guys don't know me. So this is my introduction to you. And being real and having that genuine conversation, that goes a long way. Because that's going to be received by him, that individual or her, and they're going to dish it out to whoever they come across.
Yeah.
And that's how you start the process. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then you go to your local businesses. They know you. Oh, he's cool. He's great. He's always over here. So that's what makes things, and that's a crime deterrent.
Mm-hmm.
You leave your patrol car parked up there, and they don't even know you're in there. You just go, we call that a ghost car. You leave that car, that patrol car there, nobody's in there. That's a crime deterrent. They see the police car. They see that police vehicle. They know, damn, police are right somewhere. So that make a motherfucker want to go somewhere else.
Do you think that when you build that your relationship in the community like that, that there's a level of respect that deters crime?
It does. Okay. But you're doing it because you're being a man first.
Okay.
They see the man, the individual, the human being. Because you're real personal with that message before they see the badge.
Yeah.
A lot of them see the badge first. Oh, this motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
But they got their own perspective of police.
Yeah, true. Right.
And that's what you sign up for. You can't take it. You can't be emotional. You can't take it as an attack on you.
Correct.
It's you to be that building block. But listen, my name is so-and-so. Despite the badge, I'm here for you. You know? Mm-hmm. This is what I do.
Yeah.
No bullshit. If you do something, I'm going to get you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy on top of that, what he's saying is that when you do something, I'm gonna get you. The streets understand that.
Yeah.
They know, like, as long as it's weird, it's a weird sense, but as long as you play fair with them, they respect you after that because they know what they're doing is wrong.
Yeah.
It's love.
Yeah. At the end of the day, sometimes somebody gotta get touched, but as long as you're not dirty with it,
yeah, that part.
They get it. They like,
yeah. It's a cat and mouse game.
That's
know.
What it is.
If I got you, I got you.
Yeah, eventually I'm going to get caught, right?
It is. Yeah. We here to play that game.
Yeah.
They understand it more.
Yeah.
They understand it more than the... They understand it. They understand it.
All right, I'm going to ask y'all another question.
Please, ask away.
They understand.
All right, I'm going to ask you this first. I would love to hear the story about one of your hardest calls.
Us together, yeah, right? Oh, as when we were partners?
Oh, she, oh y'all used general? To be partners?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh. We used to ride out.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Right.
I don't know.
Not necessarily as partners. Yeah, it but, could
just,
be, but
just being on the job.
I think one of my hardest calls were not shootings. You go first, because I've got a thing.
I got it just shot in my head.
Trying to remember. I have a few.
I got a call for what was it? A non-responsive individual in the residence. Like not breathing.
Mm-hmm.
So I get on scene, it's just me. I enter into this house. It's like a three-story house. You got the main floor, the upstairs, and the basement. So on the main floor, I'm envisioning shit now. It's crazy how it just popped in my head. An older gentleman, he's on the floor. He got holes in him, like cut.
Oh.
Leaking. He's dead. He's done. So then the dispatcher hits me up and says, we just got a call. There's other people in the house, and they said the guy that did it is downstairs in the basement. So I'm like, oh, shit. I pull my gun out because I'm like, yo, I got a body here. This motherfucker that did this in the basement. So I'm thinking, like, I'm checking for my victim. He's got no pulse. And you can see it. You know death when you see it. He's done. He's not here with us no more. And you see because the blood has been sitting for a while. And this it's like it's a crazy crime scene. There's blood everywhere on the walls. And he was in a wheelchair, so he was on the floor, like laid out.
Damn.
Poking. He got holes all over. I'm like, oh, shit. So then as soon as the dispatcher tells me that the motherfucker that did this in the basement, my backup comes in. I forgot who it was. But that's my man. I forgot his name. But he came in and he heard it too. So we got to go downstairs.
Your priority changed.
Yeah. It shifted because now we got to find the threat. The threat is downstairs in this motherfucking basement. Do I know? I don't know. But we're gonna clear the basement and find this motherfucker.
And you don't even know what that basement looks like.
Have no idea what the basement looks like.
You don't know if there's a washer.
So let me set the scene for you. I'm on scene. I got a dead body right here. Blood splattered everywhere. I just found out the killer's in the basement. So I got my gun out. My partner just came in. He already know because we got the same radio. We know it's silent now. I said, yo, let's go clear the basement. Just me and him. Open the first door. Don't know what's behind the first door. Go downstairs, tiptoeing downstairs because we don't know what the fuck is downstairs. Clearing this area, clearing the other area. We see a fucking a bedroom with the door closed.
Oh, snap.
Bang on the door. Police, police, open the door. Thank God the individual, he was there, but he was compliant. He spoke. Yes, I'm here. I said, listen, do me a favor, open the door with your hands up. If something other than if there's something else in your hand, it's not going to be a good thing for you. Open the fucking door nice and slow. So as soon as he opened the door, I kicked the door. Boom, kicked the door in. He had blood all in his hands, everything. And he put his hands behind his back, put the cuffs on him, took him upstairs, you know, Mirandized him, all that good shit. And put them down the bookings. Now we got the crime scene, set the crime scene up, notified homicide, had them come. It was a gory scene.
And there were still people upstairs?
Yeah, they was hiding.
Dang.
Wow. It was hiding.
Did he live there? Did he live there?
No, he lived there. He was a resident. I think it was like a one of them homes. I forget.
Not assisted living?
No, it's not. It was
like a halfway house.
Like a halfway house, something like that. And I think they had a, they argued about something so minute. But the guy that the victim, he was in the wheelchair. He couldn't walk.
Yeah.
Like, yo, what you doing? And he cut him. We found the knife and everything. And he admitted to it.
Yeah.
He admitted to it.
Wow.
The suspect had nowhere else to go.
He had nowhere else to go. But just think, we're entering the unknown now. So the threat level went from 0 to 100 extremely fast.
Yeah.
Because in my head, I'm like, I'm going to have to take a motherfucker out. I don't know. I see he poked him, but I don't know if he got a gun on him. I don't know shit.
Yeah.
You got to go into the situation anticipating that
the worst
going to attack you. Yeah.
But the best thing is how you talk to people.
Yeah.
Mm.
He's a killer, but we build a rapport at the same time.
Right.
Listen, I'm not here to hurt you, but I need to open that door. You got to come out here. I need your hands up. Because if your hands not, if you don't get, if you got something in your hands when that door opens, it's not going to be a good thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
So building that rapport instantaneously is everything. There's a lot of offers that, a lot of officers that probably would have lost their shit.
Why do you think that is?
My temperament.
Temperament.
It sucks.
Training.
You know, training, going through what you've been through prior to law enforcement helps you be an amazing officer.
Yep.
The job don't make us. We make the job.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So that's why the stigma, all police is bad, that's bullshit. And that's why this platform was made for everybody can understand. Yo, we real live people. We do this on the regular.
Yeah.
We're not going to let people dictate how police is. Absolutely not. You didn't go through an academy. You don't go through diamond training. You ain't been through murder scenes. You ain't been through a scene where a person hung themselves and you got to be the first one there. You ain't been to a scene where a block got shot up. You there, you see the victim on the floor. You see the holes, the blood leaking out. You got to seal that hole. Not to mention, you got to area canvas the scene to see if the killer's still out there. Because they still on scene.
Because a lot of them like to watch what they did.
Absolutely. What? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they'd still be on scene.
Yeah, like, they looking like, damn, who did that to him? And they watching whoever's running their fucking mouth.
Oh, yeah. That's a.
You got to understand the mindset of these motherfuckers.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess I can.
So you got to be a good crazy to do this job.
Yeah.
You got to multitask instantaneously in a hot situation.
Okay.
And the situation is always fluid.
And I'm not.
I would probably, I think it's that fight I had with the guy.
The fight or flight, bro.
I get a call. It was on Bel Air Road. One of them side joints off of Bel Air Road.
Mm-hmm.
Right after Foreman Mills, one of those side blocks. I forgot what's the name of those.
4x4.
No. On the Bel Air Road side.
On the Bel Air Road side?
Past, not going towards Eastern, going north.
Oh, going northbound. Okay, we're not south. We're going northbound.
I got a call and it was like, you know, mom says son doesn't want to take his pills. So I'm like, oh, that's just, I'm about to get off. And I think we had something special signed up. We had like dinner like set up, you know? And I'm like, I'm good. This is going to be easy. It's probably some 8-year-old that doesn't want to take NyQuil.
Oh, my gosh.
I get there. And I see this lady that she looks like somebody's grandmother. She opens the door. I'm like, ma'am, you know, she doesn't say much. And she just points up the stairs. And the house was like pitch black. And it's like, you know, it's turning evening time. It was like November, so like early November. So it's like 5:30, 6 o'clock. And everything's dark. I can't really see. And I didn't ask for no other units. You wasn't working. Mm. I remember that day. And this guy comes downstairs completely butt naked. Butt naked.
About to give Dre that.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean... He almost did.
He
fucked us up. But look,
trying to get that nigga some of that filet mignon.
You know, he was a mental case. Can I say that? He was a
he was having a mental health crisis.
Yeah.
He was having a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it came out over the dispatch, you know, my son doesn't want to take his meds.
Right.
It's not like my 45-year-old. 6'3", you know, lean as fuck, son, who happens to be naked, is having a mental crisis. Because then I would have been like, oh, we need more units. But the way it was, you know, the way it came out, and I'm thinking about getting off. And that's the thing about our job, that you can't get complacent.
Mm.
I'm thinking about getting off. I'm not thinking about the call.
Right.
I'm thinking about, I'm going to go there, talk to this little kid. Like, hey, you know, we go with the people.
Yeah.
Yo, homie, you know, just take your medicine. No. Homie came downstairs, met me halfway. He looked at me, he was butt naked, and like just ran back up. I said, I need other units. And then he goes in the room, he's in the deep corner, and he's like messing with cigarette butts. And like the younger guys, they all sergeants now, shout out to them. They came with tasers. And you know, we give him verbal warnings, and this guy's not like budging at all. And then he stands up. Someone says something. It was like a command, like, sir. You know, like, I guess he just, it was the one that made him flip.
you know, and this is my call. And I'm like trying to tell the guys, like, chill, like, because I don't want to do the extra stuff.
Yeah.
Somebody said something crazy. Taser came out, the light, and the guy looked at us and just zoned in and like charged us. And when he charged us, the taser was deployed. And when he fell back, the room was pitch black. And I got a picture of it. There was like cigarette, like it was like a million cigarette butts all over the room. All over the room. It was like a mattress on the floor. And like you see the way it's set up on the dresser, there was like big gulps. And we later found out that all those cups were filled with urine.
What?
So when he fell back, the urine fell on him. Splash. We smell it. Now we can't tase him again because he's wet. We got to go hands on. And when I tell you this dude, like, he tossed a lot of dudes.
Yeah, I mean, well, people that are, I don't know what his mental condition was, but people in a mental health crisis are like...
Next level strong.
Yeah, next level strong.
There was a big struggle. And then we finally subdue him. And, you know, I don't want to get into it, but we finally subdue him. Grandma that opened the door, that was his mom. Be careful with him. He's HIV positive.
How about that? And they done went hands on with him.
Hands on with
everything.
With fluids, bodily fluids on you.
Horrible.
Damn.
Yeah. You know what's the toughest part about that? And I'm sure a lot of people on this job, like, it's like, yo, that's not the toughest part about that. When I get off after the paperwork is done, I don't miss dinner, and I'm the bad guy at home.
Yep. That's, okay. I got another
that's
question.
That's the tough part.
I got another.
When you save, you know what I'm saying? You save this dude from possibly killing his own mother.
Yeah.
But when you come home, you're the asshole.
How do you deal with that?
You got to compartmentalize it.
That's the thing.
Do you, though?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
To me, I got so much going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So me, I keep the job as a business. I'm there to put my 8 to 16 hours in the shift, and I'm done. I'm keeping it moving. Because I got other shit going on. Like, we got other businesses going on. I don't let that. Come on with it. I know it's
coming. No, go ahead.
I know it's coming. Come on with it.
finish your sentence. I get excited. So, you know, I'll be ready.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't let it bother me. I really don't. Because the joy I get is when I get home and I see my girls.
He's always been like that.
Okay.
That's what's important to me. The job don't bother me. Even if it's high risk, I know I could die. I don't care about that shit. God got a bigger purpose for me.
Yeah.
So if I get into a firefight, I'm equipped to know how I'm act. And when it's time to get in, it's time to get it in. You can't think twice about that. Death comes with this job.
Damn, that's another good story.
If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But preparation is key.
Mm.
So when I go on sites, it's on and popping. I'm not worried about the fucking threat. He need to worry about me.
Because
you took me to that level.
Mm.
So I'm full and ready to go to whatever level you want to get to.
What's up?
And once I get on sites, it's over. And if he's still best than me and I don't got no more ammo and I'm running.
I'm going to throw you the...
I'm going to get low real quick. But, you know, it comes with the job. Like, I'm not worried about that because we trained... Baltimore City, we trained to a different level.
Yeah, it's a different level.
You know what I'm saying? So it's really like being the Joker. I'm going to laugh with you, but when it's time to get, you know, get into some shit, whatever, it's what it is.
That's another call. I'm in the Southern. Check the well-being. This beautiful nurse from and I think she was at Annapolis, finds her daughter who is on drugs, has a hole in her chest from all the drugs, calls 911. I'm there to, you know, it's a sick case. And like two around the corner, you hear the shots ring off. Same thing he said. Fuck this. I'm going to go to that. And we're running towards them shots. And, you know, I mean, it wasn't like heroic, but I'm up on sites. But you know what's crazy? The people that were outside that day, they all got in my way. And they let the shooter run off. I mean, there was cameras.
Intentionally? Or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. Absolutely. I think I told you about that. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
They got in the way. Like, I'm running and they're like purposely trying to trip me. Yeah. That's a tough call.
Yeah.
And you see the guy running, just getting away. Shout out to my partner that day.
Did he catch him?
Later on, through the investigation, through the shooting, the investigation.
It's any different, though.
It is.
It's different.
I mean, I can't even imagine how y'all do y'all jobs when the whole no snitching culture is like how they live their life.
But that's not true, though. It ain't true.
A lot of motherfuckers is telling.
It ain't true.
Okay.
Yeah, so because what we see, when your family member gets killed, a lot of they help with the investigation.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Because it's through pain. But when here's the difference. When it's a homicide, they talk. Because at the end of the day, right, like detectives, they're in offices, they're doing homework on the previous shooting, on the previous homicide, on the previous rape, on the previous child abuse. So whatever's happening now, we don't know. It's reactionary, right? So we get a call for a shooting or a homicide, right? We get there. Where were you when they killed my cousin? Right? Mm. They tend to talk on a certain investigation because they want that sense of relief. They want that justice at the end of the day. But if it's a shooting and their cousin lives, they're not going to talk to detectives because they want that get back.
Oh, yeah.
So that's where the snitching.
Vengeance versus justice.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that's the game that's being played on a larger level.
Got it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But when somebody passes away, it's like everybody, you see the community come together.
Because it hits hard.
It does.
It hits hard.
Speaking of hitting hard, right?
Ooh.
Pause. I was gonna go somewhere else with it.
Zay.
Fucking water sauce.
Yes, ma'am.
Now I have a difficult
time. Good. I'm glad. Question. Yeah, yes, ma'am.
No, but seriously, so you say you compartmentalize, and it's a certain mindset, right? That you go out to do your job.
With. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, back to that.
What is true is that we are all humans, right? And we all absorb things.
Yeah.
Whether we want to or not. Truth is, y'all have a very difficult job. A very, very difficult job, right? Mm-hmm. Y'all see probably more than not the worst of humanity every day.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Right? That.
Call after call.
It's a great way to put it.
Yeah, like, seriously.
Yeah.
How do you make sure you're either not, I'm not even gonna say not absorbing it, but how do you make sure, what are the things that you do to take care of your mental and emotional well-being? Because your job could take a toll on you. It's a lot.
You know, I think it takes a certain individual to not allow this to affect you. Like me, I stay busy. You know, I stay busy in my businesses, with my children, going to their events, sports, gymnastics, soccer, everything. And plus me, I enjoy my rides home.
Okay.
I love to listen to my music.
Mm-hmm.
I love to go out.
Mm-hmm.
I love to go out on my deck and just sit and watch the trees and just smoke a cigar, have some brown water. That's why I demobilize and just let it all out. And because first and foremost, I don't take the job serious. I take it serious, but I don't let it affect me. A lot of officers, you're right, they don't. They start drinking. It affects their marriage. I'm me. I'm always going to be Ralph. I'm always going to be Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just the kind of motherfucker I am. I'm strong. I'm built for it to not let this fucking job affect me at all. That's all it is, a job. 8 to 16 hours, whatever I do a day. And I'm going to leave it at that when I leave. Take a shower. When I get home, take the uniform off. And that's it. I'm dead. I'm having fun. Because there's more life than just policing. Policing is just a piece of what we do. It's fun. I love it. Is it dangerous? Of course, because you're dealing with humans. And a lot of humans, there's a certain element out there that's just going to cause bodily harm to people.
Yeah.
And it's just a fact. That's just what it is.
I mean, humans the most unpredictable animal on this planet.
So when I'm on duty, I handle things accordingly. And when I'm clocking out, that's it. I want to have some fun. I generally love to laugh and have a good time. It's just my personality. Yeah. And I'm always going to be that way. I got other shit going on besides policing. That's just a piece. I don't give a fuck. I'm not police every day, all day. I don't give a fuck about that. But when I'm on it, I'm on it. We're going to handle business. We're going to do our job and get the fuck out of there and keep it moving. So I don't let that bother me. Is there other ways I think I can channel that and that energy? It probably could be different ways I can, but I don't think it bothers me. Personally, no, I don't.
Has anybody in your life ever said otherwise?
Uh-uh. No? I'm not a drinker, so alcohol don't bother me. I'm not on, I don't drink. I'm an occasional drinker with the pinky up, crossing my legs and shit like that.
Not you, copying me, okay.
Right, you know what I mean? But yeah, it's more to life. I love to laugh, positive energy. Policing is just a part that we do, you know? And we have fun with it. Like I said, we make policing. Policing don't make us. It's fun. And yeah. We build relationships. But I have fun. But yeah, I don't think it bothers me. It doesn't. It's not normal to see, you know, people hanging themselves, dead bodies. Unfortunately, you got to get, that's what you sign up for. So, you know, you got to get used to it and keep it moving.
Okay. What about you, Dre?
It was a little bit different for me. Like now, more so in the realm that he's saying. But like for a long time, I was heavy drinking. Heavy drinking. I don't know why. Like, it's the same way. Like, I'll take the uniform off and I'm cool. I'm chilling. I'm all that. But it's like, I don't know. Sometimes it's like, damn, could I've helped that person a little bit more? Could I've done? And you just start drinking, you know? Or it's like you want to help your squad mate, you know? And then you just hit the bottle because you can't do nothing else.
Yeah.
I'm heavy into like working out, right? I may not look like a bodybuilder, but lifting is the shit, like, and also MMA training. But it's like you can only do that but so much. You can't go in there and do it for 6 hours. Right. You could go in there and do it for like an hour and a half. You beat yourself up and then you still gotta go home. And when you sit down, you know, it's 9 o'clock at night. The house is quiet.
It's you.
And it's just you, and your mind starts replaying these things. And for a long time, I was heavy drinking, heavy, heavy, heavy drinking. But I think now, especially with this, like the podcast has become very therapeutic. And we share stories, and it gets to come out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It gets to come out, and then it's dope hearing the feedback from the people, you know, like everyone that listens. Shout out to everybody that listens,
right.
You know, and they're like, yo, I felt that, or yo, I've been through that, or like, yo, like, and then it's like, damn, you felt the same way I felt, you know, so, and that's what has, damn, I'm like getting emotional. that is what has helped me kind of like stop drinking more, because now I have an audience in a sense. You know, that is going through it and they're like depending. And they're like listening. They're like, listen, not depending on me because I'm a nobody, but like they're listening and they're like, yeah, man, like, but.
They get a better understanding.
We're going through this.
And they can relate.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They can relate. So, you know, because not a lot of like, and I was a banker before this and it's completely different. This.
Like you sat in an office and you.
Yes, and I
coached numbers. I can't even imagine.
And I made a shit ton of money. Shout out to everybody.
I can't even imagine you working at a bank. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And he doesn't give out any stock tips.
Yeah, I don't. He not needs like to. Not like stocks, but this profession is very rewarding, but it just comes with a lot of pain sometimes, you know? Because you see humans.
Yeah.
Like, all right, like for example, a shooter. Everybody nowadays, especially in the hip-hop music, I got a shooter with me. I'm a shooter. Shooter, shooter this, shooter that, right? They never stick around to see what happens to that body. We show up and see that. They don't go home with that pain. They just know that they did a thing. Half of them are perked up or high or drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a thing. Half of them don't do it right. They do a thing. It's true. That's why we have so many like non-fatal shootings.
Exactly.
They do a thing, but you know who sees that? That person's son, that mother. You know what I'm saying? The people in the community are the ones that are reinfected. That's why he's able to go back and do it again. Because if I guarantee you, if a shooter sat down and really, like, I mean, there's certain people.
This cold-blooded killer is different.
This cold-blooded killer is different.
It's levels. Right? Yeah. That's
I'm talking about
thing,
the guy that, like...
majority in, of us.
Right. You know, you see what happens to that body and when that really gasp of air. Remember the cartoons when like the soul like really leaves?
Yeah, I can never.
That shit is for real.
Yeah.
That shit is for real. When you see a person get their chest cracked open and you got a doctor squeezing your heart.
Yeah.
It's different.
They don't see that.
Nah.
I guarantee if they saw that and you, it's like, it's a humanistic aspect of like, wow, like, you know what? I get it. I'm a G. I'm a gangster. I'm a blood. I'm a crip. I'm a this. I'm a that. But I don't know if I want to, because that might be me one day.
Mm-hmm.
And you know when they realize it? When it's too late.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
No, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. I imagine, I mean, one, I could never do what y'all do. Ever. But, I don't know. Like I take on other people's energy, right? Like I consider myself an empath. So like I naturally
call it an empath?
Empath.
Empath.
Yeah.
What is that?
Where you have a great capacity to like feel other things that people are feeling and you absorb their energy. So like me, like I have a lot of conversations with people about, you know, it's not therapy, but we're talking about deep stuff, right? Like how you're feeling, your mindset, things like that. Like a lot of people cry. A lot of people are angry, right? And listening to all of that day in, day out, like that's a lot, right? Like hearing other people's stories and just being a safe space for people, like that can eventually, you know, it does take a toll on
you. It takes
a toll. Yeah. So that's why I asked y'all like how it impacts y'all and how y'all deal with that, because that could be a very...
I mean, that's another aspect of police work.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people call the cops because they have nobody else to talk to.
Word?
Seriously. Yes. That's you know, like my son moved this place. He doesn't call me anymore. You know, my daughter's married and she doesn't call me anymore.
Damn.
And yeah, for real, like it's crazy. And you can't just be like, all right, ma'am, I gotta go.
Yeah.
You know? Because I feel like most the people that are doing the job the right way, there's that sense of what is it, empathy?
Empathy.
I'm learning that now. Empathy that you can't, it's like, yo, I feel you, you know what I'm saying? And that's just what happens. So like, oh yeah, we're social workers as well. Like we sit there.
We wear many hats.
Yeah.
Believe that.
We wear many hats.
Yeah.
For sure. And you can't just be like, do your fucking homework and listen to your mom. You know what I mean? Can't do that. Can't do that.
Right.
You got to sit there and really take the time. And it's also because we care.
Mm-hmm.
Like we care.
When what I tell my sons, right, from experience, one, our minds are still developing well into our 20s. Our brains.
25 at least.
Right? Our brains are actually like... still developing.
Absolutely.
Meaning, why the hell are we making any lifelong decisions?
Right. It's true.
But so when I think about what I want now, did I possess that in my 20s? No. Could kids possess it in their 20s? I don't know. But so like for me now,
I think females mentally.
Maybe.
Because naturally you guys are smarter than us. We're a lot of fucking dorks.
But what it really smarter. is about our ability to. So for me, if I could express like what I would want, I'm single, right? And when I think about what I want in a mate, right? Mm-hmm. It is that the things that I believe that lead to have a sustaining long-term marriage, because I believe in marriage, is one, the ability for someone to be self-aware. You have to be a person who is willing to look at yourself, to be uncomfortable and really look at yourself and how you show up. Like, a lot of people don't want to do that. A lot of people, that's a very uncomfortable thing to do. So one, being self-aware, and also knowing yourself. Like, there has to be some, we are always, always growing. Literally, we're always evolving.
Evolving. Mm-hmm.
We're not the same persons we're gonna be in our 50s. We're not. I mean, character. Will you be loving? Sure. Mm-hmm. Will you be a man of integrity? Sure. But we're gonna be evolving as individuals, right? Yeah. So, the ability for one to know yourself and to really explore that, and somebody to believe in individuality, meaning you growing and expanding and learning to love something different 10 years from now has nothing to do with me. And I want you to do that. I want you to explore. I want you to be happy. I want you to always want to discover yourself. I think it's a really important thing in relationships. Like, I don't need you to be who I want you to be.
Right.
You don't got to be the same person. You don't got like what we liked 10 years ago. Right. Like,
but I think that's the problem in marriages. I feel like they're fixated on the person they met when they got married.
Yes, that's very true.
And they see the different levels of that individual growing.
Yeah.
And and elevating in life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And wanting more things. Mm-hmm. And
once
you know,
they see the elevation, yeah. It's like, who are like you?
You get a taste of success and you see things different moving this direction. Like, me and Dre talk about it all the time. Like, I'm tired of living safe.
Mm. I feel that. I know what you mean by that.
You know what I mean? You get an opportunity. Like, it's cool, the house, have the house built, living here, this and there. But if it's more I can grab, I want that. Yeah. I don't want to do this to retire in 25 years. For what?
And then
I can retire in 2-3 years doing something else, fully committing to something
But not
else.
Only that age, like, you retire, you do 25, and then within 5 years, God forbid, you pass away from a heart attack. Because that's the statistics for cops. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you do all that only to live 5 years?
That's
truly?
Wild.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, really think about it.
Yeah. You're not going to enjoy it.
You did all that to live 5 years.
Yeah. And now you got to go.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them, they're going before that, 2.5.
Absolutely.
3 years.
So I think the levels in life, as you grow as an individual and you see more opportunities come, I'm driven on success. I'm driven on grind. I come from a single parent. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Never had a house, had apartments. Me and mom's going everywhere. You know what that's like.
Mm-hmm.
You want more for your kids. You know what I'm saying? And then you get that stage where you got the house, you got the dog, you got all this other shit. All right, what's next? Oh, I can get that? More? What? Seriously?
That's right there?
Yeah.
That's within, like, hands reach?
That's like...
just a little bit of grind and commitment that I'm used to doing?
What?
So, I don't know. It's like, I don't know if it's hate. I don't know if it's no, don't do that. I don't know what it is. I just know I want
to... be a little bit of fear.
Yeah. I just know I want to... like, me, I'm married to my kids. Day in and day out.
Same.
And I got my kids, my moms. Always gonna take care of moms. Even my wife. That's my nigga forever. Even if we don't, you know what I'm saying? Make it. It's okay. The biggest thing is having that conversation and being real about it. And just say, listen, I love you forever. Certain things don't make it, and it's okay. You gotta have that conversation. Like, you know, who wants to argue? Who wants to be in that negative energy when you reach a certain level in life? Like, you just, you wanna, like, chill. I don't wanna be around that shit. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you chasing a goal. And that goal is to take care of everybody.
Right.
So it's like, do you understand the objective? It's gonna take grind. This shit ain't easy. Life is tough.
Very tough.
And if you want certain things in life, you got to grind for it. Ain't nobody giving you shit. So it's going to take grind. It's going to take grit. It's going to take for you to fully understand. All right, you know what? He got this. All right, I got to take care of that. And still having communication, because communication is key.
Communication is key.
It is key.
Communication and understanding, because I can express all day, but are you understanding?
Are you fully understanding?
Yeah.
That's true.
That piece.
Like. So it takes both parties, you know what I mean? And it's just a lot. It's a lot. It really is. Like, but me, I'm a driven individual. You know, just policing is not good enough for me. Not at all. This check every 2 weeks, basura. It's cool, but, you know, I want more.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a beautiful thing. I think, I call that adventure, right? Like, what I've discovered about myself mm-hmm. is that, like, I have a certain, like, desire to always be on my toes with something. I don't know whether that's healthy or not. I don't know. But, like, I call it adventure, right? It gives me a sense of, like, excitement for life. So, whatever that is, right? Like, I'm always... So, like, I'm like, let's take a risk. Like, I'm the person that's always going to, like, I probably shouldn't do that, but I'm going to do it anyway. Or maybe, like, to a certain extent.
It's a calculated risk.
Yeah. Like, I'm not about to, because I am a mom and I do got kids, and there's a certain level of stability that I need to provide. Or, like, protecting my life or something like that. But if there's not a certain level of excitement and risk involved in my life, I'm definitely
bored. Yeah, for me, it's like... I'm not going to bungee jump in the Dominican Republic. Right. But
I might.
No, I'm not because...
No, not that, but...
Yeah, but I will... Let me think, what would be risky here? I don't know. Fuck, what would be risky?
I'm not going ice skating anymore.
Oh, I just went ice skating the other day.
I'm good. You know what? I'll go if I do the kids' little
thing.
Yeah. That guides you around. Yeah. Yeah.
Back then, growing up, I would be down to like, I'm going bungee in the Dominican Republic. Now I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I love it. I loved it. Now I'm just going to chill on the beach. You know why? I don't know them doctors out there.
Right.
Your falls are different.
Yeah. or even like, you know, I'm just not, yeah, like I'm not going to, I'm trying to think.
I'm just not going to do nothing like I would do in my 20s. That's stupid.
Yeah. I'm not taking that risk.
Mm-hmm. And that's not going
to
happen.
I'm trying to think what's a calculator risk that I would take now. Damn, what's a good example? I mean, I think I kind of like would go to Disneyland and jump on a roller coaster in Disneyland because it's the United States, insurance, doctors. It makes sense.
I don't want to think like that, though.
Yeah. But I'm not doing it in like...
I shouldn't be on the ride.
You know what? I'm not like playing softball now.
You know what? Maybe it's not a okay. Maybe
this. No, I understand the calculated risk. I just can't give you a good example now.
Well, what are you thinking about?
Okay, so I was about to reword it because I'm like maybe for me it's not about risk, or maybe it is. So like I think
in
about
business
in terms
or just
of, like,
in general.
Well, what I'm attracted to
in life.
In life, right? Okay. I like people who are willing to bet on themselves. Yes. Like, for example, it is very hard for me to be attracted to men who are cool with, like, their everyday 9-to-5. And I know that might sound like, I don't know. Is that shit? I don't know.
It's not supposed to sound like that. It's
so you're talking
you
about
want.
Ambition.
Yeah. Well, yes. But even bigger than that, though, like, somebody that's willing to, like, do things different, color outside the lines.
Go outside
right?
the box.
Yeah. Like, don't, so, yes.
Stop
I don't
with
like,
the same routine.
Yes. Can we try something different? Can we color outside the lines?
Right. Can we not go to chess club on Saturdays?
Yes. Like, I love that. Like, right. I am not a box type of person.
Absolutely.
I don't like to be in a box. Don't ever try to put me in a box. Like, it's like this. Even if you tell me, like, for example, one thing I'm about to do, I am a definite, like, nurturer, right? So, like, I enjoy cleaning. I don't like to cook, but I'm going to do it.
Can you cook?
I keep my kids alive. I'm not a chef. I'm definitely not a chef.
But, like, what's, give me an
I didn't like that answer.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, because when guys say that, they like, can you cook like my grandmother? No, I can't.
It's that, nah, that you're talking that. To it's a different. Man. Yeah.
That's
I don't give
different.
A fuck about what grandma
cooks. Grandma.
I want to know, what can you cook? Do you like to cook if you do?
Like, what's your go-to?
I do not. Okay, so I don't like to cook.
Okay,
like,
good.
The one thing that I could, that I would give up and pay for would be a chef in life.
But what's
do
your
not
go-to?
Like to cook.
If you have in there right now.
Is it in a box?
What is in your go-to?
No. One of the things I cook very well is turkey wings.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with that.
I love cooking turkey wings.
What's your ethnicity?
Black and white.
Nice.
American.
She's that Mariah Carey, you heard?
A word. Got a little sprinkle
on there. A
little
bit darker than Mariah Carey, though. Mariah Carey don't identify with her black side.
She doesn't?
No.
I didn't.
Not really. Yeah.
My fault. If I would have known that, I would have never said that.
Yeah. No, it's cool. It's cool. It's no offense taken.
Right. Turkey wings are good though. Like, what flavor?
I just bake them and smother them.
Okay, so then what's with it?
Like sides or like what I bake them in?
Sides.
Either. So, I am. Excuse me. I have skin on my lip.
That's fine. Get it out. Okay.
We eat healthy in my house, right? So spinach. I'm not about to bake you, I'm not about to make mashed potatoes.
No, but spinach, a little spinach.
So we probably gonna have some brown rice.
Okay, there's no.
And you can take the smothered gravy and put it on your.
That's cool.
Your brown rice, yeah. Right?
Who's complaining about that?
And some type of
I would.
Green vegetable.
You would complain about that?
Right, brown rice?
I can't. I just have greens. Okay. I just have spinach.
Yeah, put this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
No, but you still got the wings, though. Huh? You still got the wings.
What's gonna be your car? Well, I make some roasted potatoes.
Yeah.
A little rosemary.
Cute shit on top.
And usually some type of green vegetable.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not bad. I thought he was gonna say like, yo, I only make cereal.
No. We love tacos in my house. We love Mexican food in my house.
On Tuesdays.
My son would love us to have it every Tuesday. Yeah, for sure. All kinds of chicken I make, not fried.
Do you make the tacos?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. But I'm following recipes. Like, I'm not that type of person Pinterest that could be like, ooh, I taste this and that. No, right. I'm following a recipe.
Me. I mean, you follow a recipe, but you can make it to your standards, to how you like.
Yeah, I mean, my kids.
I don't follow no recipes. I'm like, I'm on the look.
Yeah, that's what I call a cook. Ooh. So to me, that's what I call a cook. I'm not like that. Like, I'm following the recipe. Yeah, I'm following the recipe.
Yeah, I put it together. See, that's the difference, though. Like, my mom's raised, like, I'm a king. I really do it all.
Now,
yeah.
I clean your house. Can nobody clean your house. Car or your house
cook,
like me.
Clean everything.
I'm a whole car detailing.
A word?
Yeah, hey, like. For real? I'm talking about in the crevice. Can't nobody clean like really? Me. I promise
what
you.
What made you do that? Like,
so that when I was younger and like moments that my mom was clean, like she was always cleaning her car at the car wash.
Mm.
On top of me always loving cleaning ever since I was little, that's where I get it from. So like I just I'm detailed when I clean.
Is
I'm
your car clean
baseboards.
Right now?
No, because my son drives it 95% of the time, and I'd be damned if I'm cleaning a car that I don't drive.
Absolutely.
Sure, blame it on him.
No, I promise you, we can call him right now. Matter of fact, I had to tell him.
I love a clean car, though.
Oh, listen.
I take it to the car wash in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah, I'm not doing that.
I'm lazy.
I'm not.
Like y'all, that?
What?
Yeah, I dropped that shit off.
Listen, I'm trying to tell you, I could get your vents and everything.
So you be out there like
detailing. Yeah, like I'm not tell you.
With the
right.
I'm hand washing. I'm getting in the wheels. I'm getting in the crevices. Like
really? That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
Yeah. And I clean my house the same way.
Yo, Ben was wash a car.
Right, with the shorts on.
Yeah,
dude.
Are you with
So listen, what kind of men do you like? What's your attraction to males? Or what have you been liking?
The wrong kind, I know.
It's all good. That's just, you know.
I'm playing,
What would you do for
me? I said I'd take that back.
Okay.
God bless my exes. I love... a man who knows himself. One, a God-fearing man, number one. That would be number one. Like, a man that... I'm not talking about a man that goes to church. I'm talking about a man that believes in having a relationship with God. Like, you pray. Y'all be talking. Like, you worship.
Gotta
like,
have that conversation.
Yeah. Like, if God forbid something happens to me, I want his first go-to to be dropping on his knees in prayer. Like, if our marriage is on the rocks, like, whatever. Like, I need him to understand the power of prayer and our relationship with God, and also to be able to effectively lead our family. So that would be number one. I like ambitious men because I'm ambitious. Like, a man that has some type of passion outside of 9 to 5. If it's, especially if it's along the lines of positively impacting the world, he probably about to be my boo thing. I like assertive men, not controlling.
Mm-hmm.
It's two different things.
This is actually that's a thing.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
I a man that loves children.
Have to.
Yeah, I was blessed with a man in my life that had the ability to love me better than my own biological father. So he set the tone for that. So I think because I have two kids, having a man that knows how to love kids that aren't his, and just the ability to love kids in period. Period is a thing for me.
That's dope.
A man that is self-aware, a man that walks in integrity and believes in transparency and vulnerability, which is a huge ask. A lot of people will be like, put honesty on the list. Honesty is based solely on somebody asking you the right question. Transparency means I'm forthcoming with information regardless of what you ask me. Right?
Yeah.
I'm see-through. So you can have honesty. Yeah. Give me transparency.
Mm. A lot of men aren't vulnerable either.
No, they are not. A lot of men are emotionally unavailable and not emotionally intelligent. Yeah, that's why I do what I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's dope.
So I'll let you know when I find him. I'll have a ring on my finger, but found him today.
I feel find you. Him, bring him on the podcast.
We sure will.
There you go.
Then we can talk about how we met.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Yeah. If you out there, boo.
Holla.
Call me. Find me on Instagram, TESA_RENEE. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. I ain't going to put my number out there.
No, don't do that. You don't need that.
That's dope.
Nah, it's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's the vision for you the next 5 years? What goals do you have set in place? Mm. What do you want to be in life?
What do I want to be in life?
Where?
My Talk goal to is to continue to... impact the masses, right? And I'm not gonna say impact the masses. I'm gonna say impact lives, because for me, it's not about the quantity of the people I impact. It's about the quality, right? The depth of level that I'm able to impact people's lives, whether it be, you know, to me, if you can impact a person's life, you impacted 100. So it's continuing to do that, right? So continuing to build out my coaching business, continuing to get on more stages, and share my story, because I believe that, just like you said earlier, like sharing your story, sharing the things that you go through, heals other people. Like it positively impacts other people. You don't go through what you go through for yourself. It's for somebody else. So continuing to do that. I definitely want to write a book one day.
Nice.
I don't know if it's in the next 5 years, but it will be eventually.
It's along those lines. Yes. At some point.
One page at a time, dude.
Yeah. That's the thing. Seriously, like starting one page at a time. Yeah, and also starting my own podcast. Well, broadening it out, right? So we do Normalizing Healing for My Culture once a month on Instagram Live, but fully taking that to the podcast and the podcasting world.
That's dope.
Yeah. And like, I'm about to send a kid off to college next year, 2023.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank
Congrats.
You.
Thank That's
you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
It's huge.
Yeah. So in the next 5 years, he'll be done graduated.
Does he know what school?
He wants to go to University of Maryland.
Terp all day.
Yeah. It's really hard to get in there now, though.
Yeah.
Very hard to be in state and go there. So
criteria is different, huh?
It's very different. Mm.
But hey, if he has to go out of state, why not?
He's not going out of state.
He can do it in state.
The only school he applied to out of state was Virginia Tech. Okay. All the rest of them, Morgan, Bowie, Howard, University of Maryland, UMBC.
Oh, he wants to stay home.
Yeah, he not. Both my kids. And that's probably because of me. But I'm like, please go away. I want you to see the world.
Yeah.
But they like, no.
They're like, Mom.
Mom. Yeah, even my oldest, who is pretending like he hate me. But
I need them turkey wings.
See, like, I need to know how to wash my clothes. I need, yeah, they're both staying close.
I ain't mad at that.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that I'm single, too. Like, I remember my oldest, who's now, he's about to be 18 in a month. He used to tell me, like, Mom, I want you to be married before I go off to college. I'm like, why? He's like, because I just want to know you're okay. I'm like, I'm good. Like,
good.
But mind you, both of my kids have seen me single majority of their lives. Like, I, you know what I mean? We got divorced when my oldest was one, right? My youngest never seen me in a relationship with his father. We broke up before he was born. So both of them have seen me single. So I don't even know what they worried about, because I don't, you know what I mean? I'd be good, but maybe it's because I don't got no man that they like.
Mm-hmm.
I need to stay at home close to mother. I don't know, y'all. I gotta ask them.
It'll work out.
Mom, I'm going to be straight.
Right.
I'm going to be straight. Shit, find a man least of your worries.
I don't know. It'll be getting lonely out here.
Nah, I feel you.
Yeah, it'll be lonely.
That's why. Well, you know what? That's why they got to fit that criteria. You can't just be with anybody.
Yeah, you can't settle, for sure. I tell people this all the time. I done worked on myself way too much. Yo, when I tell you the level, the level of uncomfortability that I've sat in, and pushing through the hard shit that I've had to go through, I refuse to accept anything less from anybody else.
I know that's right.
Yeah, so settling is not an option.
No, ever.
Not an option.
Love that.
Nope. Mm. Feel me?
What?
Absolutely.
Loving it.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a great conversation.
It was great.
That was dope.
I'm glad you came on.
I'm glad y'all invited me.
Of course. Yeah, you gotta come back.
Yeah, and y'all gotta come questions. On. Y'all gotta come on. We gotta do a live together.
That's
y'all
a given.
Let's do it.
That's a given.
Set it up.
Absolutely.
They gonna love y'all. They gonna eat y'all up.
Please do.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
Because when they see this drop, it's gonna be crazy.
I mean, it's a lot of caramello going around.
You know what I'm saying? Right.
It's a whole lot of light skinning that's going on.
Yeah, gotta be. Gotta be, absolutely.
That caramelo, that's what's up.
You know what I'm saying? That chocolate de vainilla. Any shout outs you want to give out before we wrap this thing up?
Shout outs. Ooh, that's good. Do people know when they do shout outs?
Absolutely.
I'm shout out my kids, even though I know they're not going to watch this. But I did tell them so I was coming.
That's good.
I'll tell you what. Shout out to my kids. I will tell you, in building a business, they both know that I'm building a business and I have to sacrifice a lot of time away from them. Especially my youngest, because he is at the age where he wants that. But the other day I won a new client, and they came out, my youngest came out the room and was like, "Bye, you got it. Like, he be praying for me at church, like he praying for my business. Yeah. Shout out to my kids for being amazing, amazing men, amazing black young men. Shout out to my kids.
Shout out to them.
That's dope. And how can the world reach you?
You can find me on Instagram at Tessa_Renee, TESA_RENEE. YouTube is the same. TikTok's the same, although it don't be popping over there, so don't try to look for me that hard.
It will be, though.
Yeah. My website is www.tessa-renee.com. So find me. Y'all need a coach. Y'all want to book me. Y'all want to work together, collab. You want to be inspired. You want to inspire people. Hit me up.
That's what's up. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
All right, folks. We love you. Silverback Chronicles Podcast. I want to thank my sister Tessa coming in. She is absolutely amazing. The best ever. Phenomenal episode. Everybody stay safe. Keep squares out your circle. Keep God first. Work hard. It's okay to be by yourself and work on you and just put all your energy in you, because nobody else could do that for you. All right? Tastes better when you work hard for it. Dre.
Peace and love.
Triple C.
Blessed are the peacemakers.
All right, y'all. We love you. Be safe. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you next week.
Peace.
And opinions expressed on the Silverback Chronicles podcast are those of the hosts, producers, and or the guest appearing on the program. They do not reflect the views and opinions of the federal, state, or local government. This includes but not exclusive to the Department of Defense, Homeland, and the Baltimore City Police Department. The Silverback Chronicles podcast with Dre, Big H, and Triple C. Hit the subscribe button, like, and comment.